Hello there, faithful listener. You've tuned in to Season 7 of the Bible Explained podcast. So make sure to grab your cup of coffee, because today we are going to be discussing the book of 1 Samuel. Hey guys, good morning. Welcome to the Bible Explained podcast. Thanks for being here. I am feeling much, much better now. I was able to get some much needed rest and relaxation. So thank you guys for that. But last week was one of the busiest weeks of my entire life, which I think compounded the sick. Like it made me more sick, I think. So as you guys know, I went to go visit my family last weekend, and that was a great time. But they actually came back with us and stayed at my family's house for a couple days, and we celebrated my birthday, which was very nice. I am now 30 years old, so that's great. And so while they were in town, actually, I had another friend from South Carolina come up and visit. And she actually came up because, you guys remember, my friend Jeff passed away, the man that I did an interview of a handful of weeks ago. He passed away suddenly. And so she came up for his celebration of life, which was on Saturday. And so she was staying with me. And so it was just a very, very crazy busy week with a lot of ups and a lot of downs, but I am back at things. I am ready to discuss some Bible today, because we're going to be talking about one of the most famous portions of the entire Bible, which is David fighting against Goliath. We're going to discover how in the world did David kill Goliath with a slingshot? Can slingshots even do that? So we are going to talk about that today. So let's read 1 Samuel 17, verses 38 through 58. And as always, I'll be reading out of the WEB. Saul dressed David with his own clothing. He put a helmet of bronze on his head, and he clad him with a coat of mail. David strapped his sword on his clothing, and he tried to move, for he had not tested it. David said to Saul, "I can't go with these, for I have not tested them." Then David took them off. He took his staff in his hand and chose for himself 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, which he had. His sling was in his hand, and he came near to the Philistine. The Philistine walked and came near to David, and the man who bore his shield went before him. When the Philistine looked around and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and had a good-looking face. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" The Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and to the animals of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of Yahweh of armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today Yahweh will deliver you into my hand. I will strike you and take your head off from you. I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines today to the birds of the sky and to the wild animals of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all of this assembly may know that Yahweh doesn't save with sword and spear, for the battle is Yahweh's, and he will give you into our hand." Then the Philistine arose and walked and came near to meet David. David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistines. David put his hand in his bag, took a stone and slung it, and struck the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in David's hand. Then David ran, stood over the Philistine, took out his sword, drew it from its sheath, and killed him, and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. The men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as Gai and to the gates of Ekron. The wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Sharim, even to Gath and to Ekron. The children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they plundered their camp. David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. When Saul saw David go out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the captain of the army, "Abner, whose son is the youth?" Abner said, "As your soul lives, O king, I can't tell." The king said, "Inquire whose son the young man is." As David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. Saul said to him, "Whose son are you, young man?" David answered, "I am the son of your servant, Jesse the Bethlehemite." Where we left off last time before I got sick, we talked about how David was just about to go out and fight Goliath. And he had so much resolve to go and fight Goliath because he believed strongly that God was on his side and that he could do it, even though he was but a youth, is what Saul called him. But God's spirit was greatly with David. And so David knew that he could go and fight against this Philistine. So Saul finally allows David to go after David gives this very impassioned speech to Saul saying how he could do it and how Yahweh was on his side. Saul finally agreed to let David go. And the very first thing that Saul does is actually pretty funny. He tries to dress David in his own clothing. And that is where we start out today. In verse 38, Saul dressed David with his own clothing. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and he clad him with a coat of mail. And by the time David put Saul's sword in the sheath, David couldn't even move, basically, because Saul's armor was too big for him. Because we know that Saul was the tallest man in Israel. He was a very, very tall man. One of the reasons why he became the first king of Israel actually was because of his big stature. He was a very impressive looking person. And so because he had such a big figure and David was a very ordinary boy, obviously this armor is just not going to fit David. And so David could barely move in it, is what it insinuates here, because David was a young boy and certainly couldn't fit in this armor that was so heavy for him. And plus he just wasn't used to it. You know, David was a shepherd's boy. He was practically a servant. The way David was used to fighting was with a sling, as we're about to find out. So David tells Saul, he's like, "I'm sorry, Saul, I cannot go out in this stuff. I am not used to it. I have not tested it. I've never fought in armor like this. I just won't be able to do it." So David takes it all off and he decides instead to go to the brook. And we know geologically that there is a brook in the Valley of Elah where they're currently at. And this brook is still there to this day, which you can apparently go and visit and take your five stones out of like David did. But the Valley of Elah has a brook called the Brook of Elah. And that is where David goes to get his five smooth stones. So a lot of people wonder, actually, why did David pick up five stones? A lot of people speculate that it was because David thought he might have to fight Goliath's four brothers, because we do know that Goliath had brothers. And so that's possibly why David picked up five stones instead of just one as security, just in case he had to fight more Philistines, which to me makes a lot of sense. So David picks up his five smooth stones and he puts it in his shepherd's pouch and he takes his walking stick with him. And so he is like a shepherd boy walking down into the Valley of Elah to go meet Goliath. And you can imagine how almost silly of a picture this truly would look to the human eye. A young boy going down into the valley, looking like a shepherd, not having any armor with him, not having any weapons with him, facing off against this huge 9-foot man, head to toe clad with armor. This would look very ridiculous to the human eye. But in God's eye, God doesn't look at the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. And God knew that David would be able to do this. God was giving David a spirit to go and fight against Goliath. And we know from other stories in scripture that God can use anything. It doesn't have to be human weapons. God can use literally anything to defeat somebody. God defeated people with weather. He defeated people with pots. He defeated an entire Midian army with like pots and torches when Gideon was the judge. God can use anything to defeat somebody. And so now God is going to be using this young boy, David, to defeat this giant Goliath. This reminds me of a verse, 1 Corinthians 1:27, which says, "But God chose the foolish things of the world that he might put to shame those who are wise. God chose the weak things of the world that he might put to shame the things that are strong." So God often chooses things that look foolish to the world or things that look weak to the world to put the wise to shame and to put the strong to shame in order to show how strong and wise God truly is, that he can give strength and wisdom to some of the most unseemly people. And David here is certainly not the strongest individual in Israel, and yet God is choosing him to make the strong look foolish, to make the strong look weak. So David goes down. He's probably looking very silly to the human eye to go and fight Goliath. And Goliath thinks the same thing. He is offended, actually, that David is the one that Israel is sending. It says in verse 42, when the Philistine looked around and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and had a good looking face. The Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? Then the Philistine cursed David by his gods. So first he looks at David and he is offended that a young, good looking boy is coming to fight him, and that he's carrying a walking stick and looks like a shepherd. And the Philistine is like, am I a dog that you're coming to me with a stick? And then he starts cursing David by the Philistine gods, is what it says. So using all of the names of the Philistine gods to curse David by. And then the Philistine says to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and to the animals of the field. So he's trying to threaten David and make him afraid. And yet David does not back down at all. He's not afraid by what Goliath is saying to him. In fact, David stands his ground. He says to Goliath, verse 45, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of Yahweh of armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today, Yahweh will deliver you into my hand. I will strike you and take your head from off of you. I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines today to the birds of the sky and to the wild animals of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that Yahweh doesn't save with sword or spear, for the battle is Yahweh's, and he will give you into our hand. I mean, wow, what a powerful speech. But the Philistine doesn't listen. He instead starts moving towards David, likely in anger. It says he walked and came near to meet David, and David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag, took a stone and slung it, and struck the Philistine in his forehead. I read something a while back. I can't remember where I saw this, but so forgive me for taking it and not quoting where I got it from. But I remember a saying along the lines of, when other people looked at Goliath, they saw how big he was. But when David looked at Goliath and saw how big he was, David said, I can't possibly miss this target. And I thought that was kind of cute. But David was very skilled, apparently, with the sling and the stone, with the slingshot. And in his years of being a shepherd out in the fields, he probably had a lot of time to practice. And so now he's using that skill that he developed over the years to kill Goliath with. And you might be asking, how much damage can a slingshot do? Well, you might be surprised. So this is from the uslawshield.com talking about tactical slingshots. So here's what it says. The power of a slingshot versus a handgun. To test the force of a slingshot compared to a gun, a slingshot was put to the test against five different calibers of handgun ammunition. The .22, the 9mm, the .357 SIG, the .45 ACP, and the .44 Magnum. The test was simple. Measure the impact of a slingshot launching a 1-inch steel ball compared to that of the various rounds of ammunition fired from a handgun. The test results may surprise you. The slingshot outperformed all ammunition with the exception of the .44 Magnum. Of course, the slingshot used in the video is not one that a person would carry around for self-defense, but it is an example of what a powerful tool the right slingshot can be. So yeah, slingshots can do a lot of damage, and in some ways they are actually more dangerous than certain types of handguns, shockingly enough. And David, if he would have known how to use this tool in the proper way, he would have been extremely proficient with it and clearly was, and was able to sink that stone very deep into Goliath's forehead. Now, a lot of people also ask, how did this happen, considering the fact that Goliath wore a helmet, is what it says. A lot of people actually think that part of the helmet was either left open or part of his forehead was exposed just with the design of the helmet, or that he left the helmet off completely just because he didn't think of David as being any kind of a threat to him whatsoever. So he got cocky and either left part of the helmet open or didn't even put the helmet on at all. And so David used that opportunity to sling the stone at Goliath's forehead. And so that brings Goliath, this huge man, down. And so David, though, he told Goliath that he was going to kill him with a sword. And David didn't have a sword. So what he does is he goes over to Goliath and he takes the sword out of Goliath's sheath and he cuts off Goliath's head. That's what it says in verse 51. David ran, stood over the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of his sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. So it does sound like David made the final blow with the sword, is what it sounds like to me. But either way, he brings Goliath down with the slingshot and everybody sees this and runs. The Philistines are terrified when they see this young shepherd boy so proficient with the slingshot. They're like, okay, we're in a lot of trouble. They run. And immediately the Israelites pursue the Philistines. So it says that the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Sherim, even to Gath and to Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after them and they plundered their camp. David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. So it sounds like after all this was said and done, David, for morale reasons, took Goliath's head into Jerusalem to show everybody in Jerusalem that Goliath was dead. But it looks like David kept the armor of Goliath in his own tent as like a trophy for himself. But after this, there's a curious little verse here. It says in verse 55, when Saul saw David go out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the captain of the army, Abner, whose son is the youth? And Abner said, as your soul lives, O king, I can't tell. The king said, inquire whose son the young man is. And a lot of people think that this is an inconsistency because Saul knew David and loved David, is what it says, and was close with David. So how could Saul be asking who David is if he was close to David beforehand? Well, he's not asking who David is. He is asking who David's father is. For somebody who's very self-obsessed like Saul was, he probably just didn't remember who David's father was. And because Saul had promised David when he won the battle that he would make his father's house tax-free in Israel, he obviously had to know who David's father was, and he did not remember the name of David's father. I remember a while back, my best friend in the entire world, who I've known for years and years and years, I was at my best friend's wedding. She was getting married, obviously, and I was in the wedding, and my husband Garrett was with me. And so I introduce him to my friend's mom and everything was good. And then I go to introduce him to my friend's dad. And keep in mind that I have known my best friend for 10 years up until this point, and I could not for the life of me remember what my friend's dad's name was. And so I was just like, Garrett, this is, it's just this long pause. And my friend's dad was so friendly. He just looks at me and he gives me this smile. And he's like, Mike, my name is Mike. And I was like, oh my gosh, I am so sorry. Because it's not something that you keep in mind all the time, who the person you're close with, the name of their parents. I mean, you probably should. And I obviously should have. But it's not something that you often do. And for someone like Saul, who first and foremost was very self-obsessed and probably did not think a lot about other people, and also knew David and really only cared and loved David for what David could do for him, which was, you know, playing the music and getting that spirit out of him, he wasn't going to remember the name of David's dad, but he was close to David. However, because I didn't read ahead once again in the Bible, when I talked about this last time, I said that Saul was very close to David's family. But obviously that was not true. Saul was close to David and did not remember David's family at all. So he asks David, who is your father? David says, I am the son of your servant, Jesse the Bethlehemite. And so now Saul has a name so that he can give the gift that he promised to David's father, being tax-free in Israel because David successfully fought and defeated Goliath the giant. Alrighty, faithful listeners, well, I hope you all are staying healthy and well. I feel like everybody's been getting sick recently, so hopefully you guys feel pretty good and don't get sick. But I will see you guys all tomorrow. We'll be talking about the book of Acts. We only have a few more chapters in the book of Acts, and so we're going to be finishing up the book of Acts soon and moving into the book of Romans. Faithful listeners, as always, happy listening, and God bless.